You're 3 miles from the airport. The ceiling looks low, but you can still see the runway. You're legal, right? Maybe. Maybe not. And the answer depends on a question most student pilots forget to ask. Which airspace am I in right now? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today, we are going to untangle the single regulation that trips up more students, more checkride applicants, and honestly more certificated pilots than almost any other. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.155 VFR Weather Minimums. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let's walk through this together because 91.155 is one of those regulations that looks like a simple table until you actually try to apply it in the real world. And the reason it's confusing is that the FAA didn't give us one set of weather minimums. They gave us different minimums for different classes of airspace, different altitudes, and even different times of day. And every single one of those numbers matters. Here's the big picture. The regulation says you cannot operate an aircraft under visual flight rules when the flight visibility is less than that prescribed for the corresponding altitude and class of airspace. Simple enough in theory, but the devil is in the details. Let's start where most of your flying happens. Class Golf airspace, uncontrolled, below the floors of Class Echo, below 1,200 feet above the ground during the day. This is your lowest, most basic flying environment, and the minimums here are the most relaxed you will ever see. 1 statute mile visibility, clear of clouds, that's it. No specific distance from clouds required, just stay clear of them. The logic is straightforward, you are low, you are slow, you're in uncontrolled airspace, and anything you're going to hit is probably on the ground. So the FAA says just keep the clouds out of your windscreen and have a mile of visibility. But here's where it gets interesting. The moment you climb above 1,200 feet AGL, but stay below 10,000 feet MSL, in that same Class Golf airspace, the rules tighten up. Now you need 1 statute mile visibility during the day, but you also need cloud clearance, 500 feet below, 1,000 feet above, 2,000 feet horizontal. I remember that with the memory aid, 512, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. Now, why does the FAA care about cloud clearance at all? Think about it, an IFR airplane on an approach could pop out of a cloud at any moment. If you're sitting 300 feet below that cloud, you and that airplane will meet each other with almost zero reaction time. The cloud clearances exist to give you and that instrument pilot a buffer zone. Time to see each other, time to react. At night in Class Golf, no matter what altitude, the minimums jump. 3 statute miles visibility and the same 512 cloud clearances. 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal. The FAA knows your eyes are worse at night. They know you cannot see terrain, you cannot see traffic, you cannot judge distance. So the nighttime rules in golf airspace match what you see everywhere else. Now let's move into Class Echo. Controlled airspace that's not Class Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, or Delta. This is the big open block most of us fly through on cross countries. Below 10,000 feet MSL, the rules are straightforward. 3 statute miles visibility. 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 feet horizontal from clouds. Day or night, same numbers, but at and above 10,000 feet MSL, everything changes again. Visibility jumps to 5 statute miles, and cloud clearance becomes 1,000 feet below, 1,000 feet above, and 1 full statute mile horizontal, a statute mile horizontally from clouds. That is a serious buffer. And the reason is speed. Above 10,000 feet, airplanes are moving faster. IFR traffic is often descending or climbing through those altitudes at high speed. You need more room, more time, more visibility to stay alive. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. The 10,000 foot MSL threshold is not 10,000 AGL, it is MSL. So if you're flying in Colorado where the terrain is already at 7,000 feet, you only need to be 3,000 feet above the ground to hit that 10,000 MSL boundary where the tighter rules kick in. Know your local elevations, now Class Delta. Your towered airports without radar approach control, the rule simplifies nicely. 3 statute miles visibility, 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal from clouds, and you need a ceiling of at least 1,000 feet to operate in the traffic pattern. If the ceiling drops below that, special VFR becomes your only option without an instrument rating, and that requires a clearance from the tower. Class Charlie and Class Bravo, same visibility requirement, 3 statute miles, same cloud clearances in Charlie, 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal. But in Bravo, the cloud clearance requirement disappears entirely. The rule just says clear of clouds. Why? Because every single airplane in Class Bravo is under positive radar control. ATC is separating you from everyone else. They know where you are. They know where the IFR traffic is. You just need to see and avoid and not fly into a cloud. Here is where students get tripped up on the check ride. The examiner is looking for you to not just recite the table, but to explain why the numbers are what they are. Why is Class Bravo clear of clouds radar separation? Why does visibility jump above 10,000 speed of traffic? Why is nighttime in golf more restrictive? Human eye limitations. If you understand the reasoning, you will never forget the numbers. Let me give you a real scenario. You are flying across country at 4,500 feet MSL. You left from a Class Delta airport and now you're in Class Echo. The METAR at your destination, 40 miles away, is reporting 3 miles visibility in haze. Are you legal to continue? Let's work it through. You are below 10,000 MSL in Class Echo. You need 3 statute miles visibility and the standard cloud clearances. 3 miles visibility is reported, so technically yes, you meet the legal minimum, but here's the practical question. Should you continue? 3 miles in haze means you will not see that traffic until it is very close. It means the runway might not appear until short final. Legal does not always mean smart, and that brings me to something the regulation does not say, but every good pilot knows the minimums in 91.155 are just that, minimums. They are the floor, not the recommendation. I have talked to dozens of experienced pilots, and almost none of them fly at the bare minimums by choice. Your personal minimums should be higher, especially early in your training. 5 miles and a 2,000-foot ceiling is a much more reasonable baseline for a low-time pilot. You can always relax those limits as your experience grows. One more trap. Special VFR. You will see this come up in Class Bravo, Charlie Delta, and Echo surface areas. When the weather is below basic VFR minimums, you can request a special VFR clearance from ATC. This drops the requirement to just 1 statute mile visibility and clear of clouds during the day. At night, you need an instrument rating and a current instrument airplane to fly special VFR. The regulation that covers this is 91.157, and it works hand in hand with 155. But here is the thing about special VFR. Just because you can get the clearance does not mean you should take it. 1 mile visibility and clear of clouds in Class Delta means you are in genuinely marginal conditions. If you're a student pilot, you cannot request special VFR at all. And even as a private pilot, if you do not have an instrument rating, you are one unexpected cloud from being in serious trouble. Let me give you a mental framework that might help all of this stick. Think of VFR weather minimums as a protection system with 2 components. Visibility protects you from the ground and from traffic you cannot see coming. Cloud clearance protects you from IFR traffic that might come out of those clouds with no warning. Every time the airspace gets busier, or the traffic gets faster, or the conditions get more dangerous, one or both of those numbers goes up. That is the whole logic for your check ride prep. Here is what I recommend. Draw yourself a table. Across the top list the airspace classes, down the side, list the visibility, cloud clearance above, below, and horizontal. Fill it in from memory until you can do it without looking, then practice scenarios. Your examiner will not ask you to recite the table. They will give you a situation. You are at 7,500 feet, in Class Echo, it is nighttime, what are your weather minimums? And you need to answer without hesitation. The other place this shows up on the check ride is the cross-country planning portion. When you are briefing the weather and looking at your route, you need to be able to identify which airspace you will be flying through at each segment and confirm the forecast conditions meet or exceed the minimums for that airspace. If your route takes you through a slice of Class Charlie airspace and the TAF is calling for 2 miles visibility in mist at the time you will be there, you have a problem. You need to plan around it. One last thought. The regulation uses the term flight visibility in some places and ground visibility in others. Flight visibility is what you can see from the cockpit in flight. Ground visibility is what the weather observer on the ground reports. When the regulation says you need 3 miles, it generally means flight visibility for en route operations and ground visibility for operations at airports. The distinction matters because sometimes you can see further from altitude than what the surface observer is reporting. But do not use that as an excuse to push into deteriorating conditions. So, to bring it all together, know your airspace, know your altitude, know whether it is day or night. Those three variables determine which set of minimums applies to you at any given moment, and once you know the legal minimum, add a personal margin on top of it. That is how you stay safe, not just legal. This one took me most of my student training to internalize. The FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual, Chapter 7, and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, Chapter 15, both lay this out well if you want to study the source material. That is your episode. Go draw that table, fill it in from memory, and quiz yourself until the numbers live in your brain permanently. I'll see you next time. Fly safe, RadioHangar.com.